if you will, this morning, take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Ephesians. I want us to find chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to continue talking about family and marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. For the sake of time, I want to just read verse 33, and I'll let you sit down, and then we'll read the whole text. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. The Apostle Paul writes, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." Father, thank you for this great crowd who have come to worship you. And I pray now that you will speak to us in such a way that all of us will be able to understand it and live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to just simply talk to us this morning about instructions for marriage. Instructions for marriage. Paul has been spending much of his time in this letter talking to the church. But in this text that we read this morning, Paul shifts his attention away from the church house to our house. He's focused on the family. And he starts with marriage. In these verses that we read this morning, there are three things that I want you to consider about these verses. Three things that I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice that the whole entire book of Ephesians, including the text in which we read, is written to Christians. Amen. It's written to believers. It's written to people who ought to have a love for the truth of God's word. Paul is not, he's not talking to unsaved folks. He's not talking to non-believers, but he's talking to people who have been called to learn, love, and live out the word of God. He actually starts in verse 22. And from verse 22 all the way through verse 33, Paul is talking to born-again husbands and wives. He's talking to people who ought not have a problem receiving the instructions of the Word of God. Amen. Now, that's important to me. Amen. It makes sense if non-believers fight with the statements that Paul makes. It makes sense if non-believers fight against the instructions that he gives. But he's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to saved folks. The whole book is written to Christians, including verse 22 through through verse 33. Here's the second thing that I want you to notice about this text. Paul, in these verses, lay out for us the role and the responsibility of both the husband and the wife concerning marriage. He lays it out. He puts it in plain, understandable language. Paul says to the wives in verses 22 through 33, Paul said, wives, submit to your husband. Paul said, husbands, love your wives. Amen. He lays out for us the role and the responsibility of both the husband and the wife. Here's the third thing that he does. Paul uses the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church to set the standard for marriage. Amen. He's doing more than giving us an analogy. He's doing more than giving us an example. He is setting the standard for marriage. The standard for marriage, wives, is that you submit to your husband. Amen. I may get stoned to death for this old wit. And the standard for the husband is that you are to love your wife unconditionally. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you something. If you get the standard wrong, the process gonna be wrong. If you get the foundation wrong, the building ain't gonna stand. And the foundation, the standard for Christian marriage, is that wives, you are to submit to your husband. And husband, you are to love your wives. Now, what I want to do before y'all break and run on me, I want us to spend some time talking about the roles and the responsibilities. When you read this entire text, you'll discover that Paul really just gives the wives one responsibility and he gives the husbands one responsibility. The wife's responsibility, her role in the marriage is that you are to stop fighting against your husband, stop competing for rulership with your husband, and you are to willingly submit to his leadership. The husband, you are to love your wife unconditionally. In fact, Paul said that you are to love your wife like Christ loved the church. That means that she means more to you than the bass boat. That means, listen to me, that means that she is more valuable to you than the football game. Amen. You are to love your wife. Now, all of us know that there are other responsibilities that come along with marriage. Amen. If you're married, you know, as a man, you got the responsibility of cutting the grass. If you don't cut it, it is at least your responsibility to see that somebody cuts it. Amen. As the man, you have the responsibility to keep stuff working properly around the house. If you like me, you can't fix your way out of paper bag. But I still have the responsibility of making sure it gets done. Amen. Paul, listen, there are other responsibilities, but here's what Paul does. Paul said, if you get these two right, the rest of them will fall in place. Can I tell you that one of the number one reasons why men, married men in the church, is disappointed with their wives? They feel disrespected. They feel like their authority, their God-given authority, is being bucked at by the wife. Can I tell you the number one reason why most women in the church is disappointed with their marriage? Is because they feel like the husband loves everything and everybody more than he do her. Now I'm preaching now, y'all. I know y'all don't know it, but I really am.
Amen.
Paul said, wives, you are to submit to your husband. Now listen. Look with me in verse 22 and 23 and 24, because Paul starts with the girls. Now, girls, listen, this year I got to lay kind of heavy on y'all. Because last year I cut y'all some slack, and I had some boys at the back door confront me about it. Now, listen, because, listen, again, once again, this is not a beat you up message. God wants to heal our homes. God wants to, listen, God wants to take our marriages from the place of misery to the place of Mary. Amen. Did you know that it is a bad testimony to the goodness of God when you are miserable at home? Amen. God wants us to be happy, healthy, and whole at home. And so this is not a beat your message. Listen, this is a message of instruction, because we need to get it right at home. We need to get it right at home. Now listen, Paul says in verse 22 through verse 24, listen what he said. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You need to underline everything. Now listen, here's my first little point to the wives this morning. Listen, wives, you are called, instructed, and commanded to submit to the headship of your husband. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. It is a commandment given to you by the Lord. Paul said, you're called, you're instructed to submit to the headship and the leadership of your husband. Now, listen, because of this one verse, verse 22, the Apostle Paul has suffered great criticism throughout the ages. Because there are many idiots out there who try to say that Paul is teaching that men are superior to women. But that's not what Paul is teaching. Listen, Paul is teaching that in order for any organization to operate correctly, somebody has got to be the leader.
Amen.
Dr. Rogers said, listen, anything with no head is dead. And anything with two heads is a freak. Amen. And what God did in order to keep the home functioning in a proper way, God established leadership. And he allowed that leadership to rest with the husband. Let me tell you what submission means here. It means one that is equal to another, but voluntarily places themselves under the authority of the other. Let me try to help you understand what that means. Paul is not teaching that men are superior to women. He's not teaching that women are inferior to men. In fact, in Galatians, write this verse down. In Galatians, let me put my glass on. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, The Apostle Paul tells us that we are all one in Jesus Christ. We're equal in Jesus Christ. But what God did in the home, God established what is known as the chain of command. And he placed the husband over the family. You're equal to him. He's not better than you is. God is not being unfair that he has asked you to submit to the headship of the husband. But what God wants, listen, God wants you to understand that in order for things to operate and function properly, somebody has got to lead. And he's given that privilege to the husband. Now, husband, let me tell you something. Before you poke your chest out and throw your head up, with privilege comes responsibility.
Amen.
One of these days, I don't know when, it may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be 100 years from now, but one of these days, you will stand before the Lord and you will give an account as to how you led the family that God gave you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I take you back to the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, listen, when God showed up, he did not ask for Eve. He wanted to know where Adam was.
That's right. Amen.
One of these days, brothers, listen, you will stand before God and you will give an account as to how you led the bride that God gave you.
Amen.
There are four things I want the wives to take with you this morning. Number one, a wife's submission to her husband is part of her obedience to Christ.
Amen.
A wife's obedience to her husband, her submission to her husband is part of her obedience to Christ. Look back with me in verse 22. Look at verse 22. I started to rush through this, but I might as well take my time. You're getting mad now anyway, so. Look at verse 22. Listen what Paul said. Listen. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Paul said, listen, it's part of your obedience to Christ to submit to the headship and the leadership of the husband. Girls, I want to tell you something. Listen, come on close. Let me tell you something. When you fight against the leadership and the authority of your husband, you're not just fighting against him, you're fighting against God. Because God established it. God put it into motion. And when you fight against him, when you try to undermine and overthrow his God-ordained authority to lead the family in the home, you're not just fighting against him. You're fighting against God. And folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Your arms are too short to box with Almighty. Part, girls, listen, part of your obedience to Christ is submission to your husband.
Amen.
That's the first thing. Here's the second thing that I need you to see in this text. A wife's submission to her husband is a God-established fact. God established it. Listen, when Paul wrote these words, they did not come out of the mind of the Apostle Paul, but they were inspired through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is only writing what heaven gives him permission to write. It is God established, but not only is it God established, it is God stated. Look with me in verse 22 again. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. You know the key word right there? He is. Listen to me. Whether you like it or not, whether you submit to it or not, whether you agree with it or not, the truth of the matter is when you stood at the altar and you gave those vows and you made that commitment, he became God's divine leader in the home. He is. Notice what Paul didn't say. Paul didn't say, for the husband ought to be. He didn't say that the husband should be. Listen, he said he is the head of the wife. Is God established? Is God stated? Let me tell you one other thing about it. Is God fixed? In other words, no matter what you do as a husband, you are still standing giving account. No matter what your wife does as a spouse to overthrow and undermine your leadership, you are still standing giving account one day. It is a fixed, listen to me, it is a fixed fact. It cannot be changed. God said, this is the way I set it up. I say that because, listen, there are some of us as men, we shrug off our responsibilities. Amen. Listen, there's some of us as men, I pray God none of us here, there's some of us men, we won't hold a job because we know she'll work two jobs. There's some of us as men, we won't bring the children to church because we know she gonna get up and bring them to church. There are some, listen, there are some women, you're upset with the leadership you got and you got a right to be upset, but you should have thought about that before you said I do. I'm telling you something, listen to me. This marriage deal is a serious business.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
It's a serious business. And one day you will stand before God and you will give an account. I promise you, you will stand before God and you will have to try to explain to him why you didn't lead your family the way you should have. And girls, you will have to explain to him why you didn't submit to the authority that you agreed upon. It's established, it's stated, it's right here. It's right in verse 23, for the husband, watch this. He said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ also is the head of the church.
Amen.
Amen. And for us men who are copping out, I'm telling you, because I know it's happening. It's happening in America and it's happening in the church. We're copping out. We're not trying to bring our families in a way that's pleasing to God. We can find time to take them to the river. We can find time to get them to the ball game. We can make every practice and still have time to watch the late night movies. And we don't have time to bring them to church. You are failing God. And I'm telling you, I'm not fussing. I'm not mad. It's not on my shoulder until I get it off me. You will stand before Almighty God, and there won't be one excuse you can offer him that's going to work. You can teach him how to play ball. You can teach him how to golf. You can teach him how to fish. You can teach him how to bowl, but you don't have time to teach him how to follow God. You are failing. Do you hear me? You are failing them. Not only are you failing them, but you're failing the Lord. Girls, let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you listen, girls, say amen.
Amen.
Your husband is the leader. He's God's established leader. It is a stated fact. It is a fixed fact, and you might as well stop fighting against it. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Well, you say, I'm smarter than he is. That's a matter of opinion. Here's my third point to the wives. Listen, number one, wives, your submission. Now watch this, listen, I promise you, it's right here in the text. Your submission to your husband is part of your obedience to Christ. Number two, your obedience to your husband is an established fact, established by God. Now here's the third thing I want you to take away with you this morning. A wife's submission is to be done not because the husband deserves it, but because you love Christ and want to honor him. I can tell you after 30 years, listen to me, And I try to bear as much truth to y'all as I can about our personal life. But I can tell you, after 30 years, there have been some times when Maddie Bledsoe had every right in the world to dethrone me as the leader of the house. But you know why she didn't? You know, listen, I can tell you. You know why she didn't? Because Maddie has a love for Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. Your submission to your husband has nothing to do with the fact that he deserved it. Because listen, the truth of the matter is, there are times in all of our lives when we don't deserve nobody to follow us. We ought not to be able to lead a pack of hungry wolves to a steak dinner. There are times. But girls, you have to follow because you love Jesus. You have to submit to this thing because you want to see Jesus Christ glorified through your marriage. Here's my final little point to the girls. We'll talk to the boys for just a minute. A wife's submission to her husband is for her good and her glory. Believe it or not, when you submit as a wife to your husband, listen to me, believe it or not, it's for your good and it's for your glory. I want you to look with me in verse 25 and 26. Listen what Paul said. He's talking to the husband, but there's something there for the wives. He said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul said, listen, as the church submits and surrenders to Jesus Christ, Jesus is beautifying her. He's glorifying her. He's doing something marvelous and wondrous in her and for her. And the same is true with the wives when they're willing to submit to godly leaders. Here's my final little point to girls. I want you to go back with me to verse 24. Because Paul says in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. And then notice this, in everything. That means, listen to me, that means that you don't fight him about the money. You don't fight him about how he disciplines the children. Listen, you don't fight him on Sunday morning when he wants to get up and get to Sunday school. That means that you got no problem following him on Wednesday night to Bible study. Listen, friend, listen, that means in everything. In everything. And girls, I want to tell you, and I'll be through with you. If you're fighting, kicking against, trying to undermine, trying to destroy the leadership of your husband, you're fighting against God. And you're ruining your children. You know why so many young people have disrespect for their dads? They learned it from mama. You see, they think dad is stupid because mama said he was stupid. They think daddy can't do nothing right because they heard mama said daddy couldn't do nothing right. I'm telling you this morning that you do your husband a great disservice when you badmouth him to your children. Listen to me. You're cutting his legs waiting under him. You don't want him there for the discipline, but when they get in trouble, you want him there. Well, let's talk to the husband for a minute. Because Paul commands the husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of y'all girls feel like you're being loved like Christ loved the church? That's the command that God gives to the husband. Amen. You're to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. Four things I want you to see, men. How does Christ love the church? Number one, he loves her sacrificially. Look at verse 25. Look what Paul said in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loves the church sacrificially. That is, listen, he's willing to go through whatever he has to go through. He's willing to put up with whatever he has to put up with. He's willing to suffer whatever he has to suffer for the sake of his bride. He's willing to sacrifice. He's willing to let some things go in order that she may be whole. He loves the church sacrificially. Boys, let me ask you this morning, are you loving her sacrificially? See, here's what research has proven among Christian, real Christian women. Real quick Christian women don't have any problem submitting to a man that she know loves her.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you something else about this love relationship that Christ has with the church. It's more than lip service.
Amen.
Listen. Real love goes deeper than the words that you speak.
That's right.
It's an action word. Listen, it's seen in the way you treat her. It's seen in the way you hold her. It's seen in the way you provide for her. It's seen in the way you hurt when she hurt.
Amen.
Number one, he loves the church sacrificially. Here's the second thing that I want you to see. The husband should have a love for his wife that don't mind laboring for her. Look with me in verse 25 through verse 27. He said, husbands, love your wives. Even Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want you to notice that he's doing it. Listen, he's doing the sanctifying. He's doing the washing. He's doing the cleansing. And he's doing it because he loves the church.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to labor for that girl. In fact, listen to me. A lot of marriages go south because we stop doing after a few months what we were doing to get her.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, we stop laboring.
Amen.
We no longer see any need to invest any time and effort and energy in her. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ started working for you the day he went to the cross. And he's still right now working for you, working on you, and working through you. Amen. Listen, I can tell you today that I'm not what I used to be, but praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be, because the one who saved me is still polishing on me. I still got some dust on me that he's got to knock off. Every husband, listen to me, every husband ought to labor as hard to keep her as you did to get her.
Amen.
We need to have a laboring love. Amen. need to have a laboring love for our wives. Here's the third thing. Hug to the husbands. Not only should he have a laboring love, but he ought to have a beautifying love for his wife. He ought to have a love for her that is always building her up. That's always strengthening her. You know, I'm being honest with you. But it don't take me long when I'm around husbands and wife, it don't take me long to be able to identify a woman that's being built up by her husband versus a woman that's being beat down by her husband. There is an unhidden glow that comes out of a woman by the way she walk and by the way she talk, with the confidence that she have when she know that she has a man on her side that loves her unconditionally. Amen. The reason why some women look so sad is not because of what's happening to them in the public, it's what's happening to them in the private. It's not what the world is doing. It's what's happening at home. And if you got a man, a so-called man, I don't call him a man, but he will, just a so-called man. But if you got a man that's always tearing you down with his words, degrading you, he don't hit you with his fist, but he beats you with his words. It sucks the beauty out of a woman. We ought to have a beautifying love for our wives. My wife ought to believe she look good, not based on what you said, but what I said.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Every now and then, I just like to tell Maddie how fine she is.
Amen.
I want her to know that she is still the apple of my eye.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And boys, let me tell you something. Listen. I'm trying to make sure we ain't got no young folks in here. Sex. Don't tell her that. See, men spell love S-E-X. But women spell love affection. I'm not going to try to spell it. I'm smarter than that tongue. She wants to hear your approval. She wants you to compliment her. Amen. If you learn to love on her in the kitchen, it'll change the atmosphere in the bedroom. Now, before y'all say, preacher preaching on sex, let me tell you something. God invented sex. Sex is holy when it's done in the confines of marriage. Amen. We need to love our wives with a beautifying kind of love. So that when she get up and go to work on Monday, she got a confidence stroke. She don't need that jerk on the other side of the room complimenting her. Because she full of compliments from the man that she married. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Now, you listen to me. And I'm going to close. The devil is like a rat. He's always looking for a crack to get in to eat cheese that he didn't buy. And I pray God, listen to me. I pray God that it never happened here. But it has happened in churches. If you don't meet her needs at home, the devil will send her somebody from the world that will try. Here's my final point, and we'll go home. And this is important. This is important. The husband should have a supreme kind of love for his wife. Robert, take me to verse 31. I left my Bible up there. Take me to verse 31. I want to show you something. Look at this right here. Look. Verse 31. I need the whole verse. I want to show you something, then we're going home. The husband should have a supreme kind of love for his wife. Listen what Paul said. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now the reason Paul uses the relationship of a son, a father, and a mother is because it is very difficult to find a relationship that's any stronger than that of a parent and child. And what Paul is teaching us, he's teaching us that when a man gets married, mom and dad can no longer take top priority in his life. You're to have a supreme kind of love for your wife. That means, listen, you love her more than mom and dad. You love her more than the running buddies you had before you stood at the altar. You love her more than your job. You love her more than your bass boat. You love her more than anything and anybody other than Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 The home is in a mess. There are husbands that are dictators and rather than leaders. Amen. Listen, there are wives who don't begin to understand the beauty of submission to their husbands. And it's not only out there, but it's in here as well. It's in here as well. My prayer this morning is that whatever adjustments you need to make as a husband or a wife, you would do it for the glory of God. Last week I told you there were three reasons why God gave us marriage, and I only told you one of them. One is procreation. One is companionship, but the most important one is his glory. You see, the world ought to be able to look at your marriage, ought to be able to look at how you love your wife, and how wives follow their husbands. They willingly follow them. They submit to them, and they encourage them and build them up and allow them to lead. They ought to be able to look at a Christian home and want to give God glory. Amen. Father, thank you for this time this morning. I pray in Jesus' name